Can I be honest with you for a minute? I know you're listening to this podcast because you want to create consistent content for your business. But here's what I'm hearing from so many of you in my DMs, my emails, and the comments that we get on YouTube. Crystal, I start content projects, but I never finish them. Or I feel so overwhelmed by all the moving pieces. Or I publish when I find time, which is basically never. And then this one here really gets me. I spent hours perfecting a post and it got 3 likes. Does this sound familiar? Because here's the thing. You're not broken and you're not lazy. You just don't have a system if you find yourself saying some of these similar things. So this is why I created the Prep'em Method Guide. This is the exact 5-step framework I've used since 2018 to create over 1,500 podcast episodes and 600 YouTube videos consistently, without the chaos, without the overwhelm, and without spending 12 hours editing one piece of content. This isn't about working harder. It's about working smarter with a proven system that gets your content from idea to published and actually get seen by your audience. So this guide breaks down exactly how much time to spend on each step. And trust me, you're probably spending way too much time in the wrong places. So if you're tired of the content creation hamster wheel and ready to finally get consistent, go to crystalprofit.com/prep'em. That's PREPM, and download your free copy right now. Stop letting great content ideas die in your drafts folder. Your audience is waiting for what only you can share. So go to crystalprofit.com/prep'em and get your Prep'em Method Guide today. Okay, let's get back to today's episode.
It's evolving quickly. I have like a don't trust tech bros mentality. Mm-hmm. I'm from New York. I'm really skeptical about a lot of things. but like they're in a bubble and they're like, this, we are changing the world, right? Like some of those people talk like they are Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that we have evolved over thousands of years, and the thing that accelerated our evolution was togetherness and community. Mm-hmm. And like properly communicating, because that's how we innovated. And that's still deeply embedded in us. For better or worse, we seek companionship. We go to these conferences for in-person interactions, but then we're also very tribal. That person looks different from me and I hate them.
Yeah.
But like it's so deeply seated in us.
Yep.
That the tech bros who think everything will be replaced by AI are completely forgetting that we crave human interaction.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Prep'em Podcast, where we teach you how to start, launch, and market your content with confidence. I'm your host, Crystal Prophet, and I'm so excited that you're here. Thanks for hanging out with me today, because if you've been trying to figure out the world of content creation, this is the show that will help be your time-saving shortcut. So let's get right to it, shall we?
Start recording so I don't forget to do that later.
Yes, that's the move.
So I will say it's unfortunate that the all-black studio has all of my wispies showing.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I'm trying to brush them down.
Oh my gosh, so, this is so nice.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, we're just going to dive right into it because this is who we are.
This is how we roll.
You've been on the show before anyway.
Yeah.
And I want to know, what are you up to? What are you up to, Joe?
Yeah. So gosh, the last time we spoke, I was like really focusing on podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
If you released the video for these things?
Yes.
Okay. So people see we're recording it. In Kit Studios. And
not just Kit Studios. Tell them whose studio.
Oh, yes. This is Nathan Berry's personal studio. He opened up for Craft and Commerce. So I feel like this is going to sound like I'm like being sarcastic, but I feel like it's a big deal.
Yes. That's what I was like. I recorded tonight earlier. I was like, Y'all, Pat Flynn was in here recording with Nathan Berry just this morning, like hours ago, like where you're sitting.
Right.
I was there. Nathan was right here. And
super,
it's like,
cool.
Like, wow. How fun is this?
Yeah.
This awesome.
So I assume we decided to record this like same day.
Yes, we have no idea what we're doing, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's good because we're both professionals.
Yes, my audience knows. They're just like, oh, whatever.
So I learned perhaps something you also learned when you first started targeting podcasters, which is just using the word podcaster is not the best move, because my friend Becky said, I have a podcast and I don't call myself a podcaster. I call myself a business owner. And I'm like, right.
Right.
So since we last spoke, I've really moved into the solopreneur space. Specifically, I help busy solopreneur parents spend less time checking their email at the playground.
Hmm.
And I do that by like, implementing business systems, the same sort of things that I help podcasters with. I've just kind of expanded to other things that people are struggling with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just so you all know, Joe like nailed it, because we were like challenged to really craft how we introduce what we're doing. And so like, I'm just going to
thank you.
A fantastic job.
Thank you very
but I
much.
Loved, we were actually chatting about this because again, we go way back. Joe and I are like chatting in between sessions everything. And you were talking about how you felt like you had it nailed at who you were targeting until someone was like, oh, that playground piece.
Yes.
That piece. So tell the story behind that.
Yeah. My friend Austin Church. So something I've really been wondering is, and I've gotten like kind of mixed feedback on this is, should I make parents part of my ICP? Mm-hmm. And a bunch of people said no, because like you're eliminating people who have said that they want your help but aren't parents. And I determined yes, parents, because when I talk about parent business owners specifically, it's like there's no business advice for parent business owners. And so I can speak passionately about that. Wes Chaos has a spiky point of view. That's my spiky point of view. And so I was talking to Austin Church and I was like, I help solopreneurs, you know, build systems to save time, or and we're workshopping that. And he's like, you know, everybody says save time, right? Mm-hmm. He says, you help parents. And then he said, you help parents not be on their phone while they're at the playground. And I really loved that. I switched it to email, because that's like a more concrete thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I think like some people might be like, well, Facebook is a... Right. But like email is a very concrete, like, oh, I got to check my email. Something came in. I'm going to panic now. So, So I feel really good about that. Yeah. And I've gotten really positive feedback about that. So Shout out Austin Church. He mentioned the playground thing. Like, that's so perfect.
It connected the dots.
Yes,
for you.
Yes.
I love it. And this is what I love about this event, because I feel like you get connected to all these incredible people, right? That you can ask them those questions where like, I'm thinking about rebranding. Whereas if you were to ask other people in your life, your friends or your family, that maybe they're not entrepreneurs, they're not solopreneurs, they don't have this, you ask them their opinion. And to a certain point, you're like, that's great, but I don't know that your opinion matters. You're like, I love you and thank you so much. But also, I don't know that you understand the pieces of it. So even someone that's like in a traditional marketing role, if they were to give creators advice, I don't really know that you can fully trust it, because it's not the same.
Absolutely. I mean, I always bring things back to sports and the Yankees, right?
Yes.
It'd be like asking somebody who has never watched a baseball game. So like, what do you think the Yankees need to do to win this year? Mm. I heard you're supposed to hit a lot of home runs, right? Like, okay, well, that's great. Yeah. Right. And also like when you ask friends and family, especially, it's almost like you get the AI version of like, oh, that's really great. Right. I do rubber ducking with AI. And for those of you who don't know what rubber ducking means, it's apparently a long time programming term. And I didn't know that it didn't exist outside of the programming niche. Mm. And so it is the idea that like a programmer would keep a rubber duck on their desk and talk through problems with it. And so that's why it's called rubber ducking. And like, we've all experienced this, right? Like, hey, I have this problem. And then you start talking through it and you get the solution before like the person you're talking to ever has a chance to respond. And so I do a lot of that with AI. Hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What are the things I'm not thinking about, right? You know, using your vast amount of knowledge and pattern recognition, what are the things I should be looking out for? But I always have this, I include this in all of my projects. Act like a coach. Don't just agree with me. Push back on what I'm saying. do this 3 to 5 times. Because if you don't say that, then it just keeps pushing back on you endlessly. You never get anywhere. So, and that's been really helpful because then it's not just like, yeah, good job. It's like, it always says pushback, colon, and then the pushback. I'm like, this is very robot.
Yeah, but still.
But it's good.
It's super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it forces you. I think that, like, that part is no different than, like, using a pre-made worksheet or, like, what's that 10-year exercise that's been cropping up a lot lately? It's like, picture, it was on the Tim Ferriss show, and then Jay Klaus wrote about it, and then somebody else mentioned it this week, too.
Okay.
Where it's like, picture this date 10 years from now, write down all of the details from the moment you wake up, from the moment you go to bed. And that is a very powerful thing for a lot of people. I started doing it and I'm like, okay, it is June 2035. All of my kids are teenagers. My daughter's about to graduate high school. This is stupid.
But it's so good because like you said, so this goes back to the parenting piece, which I think is so important for anyone that's listening or watching that is a parent. I think that it's crucially important to find creators that have lives that are similar to what you have or similar to what you want.
Yes.
And I've never really actually talked about this. I'm so glad you brought this up. You're the perfect person to chat about this.
Awesome.
But I've had struggles with following like Amy Porterfield's and Marie Forleo's of the world because while they are stepmothers in how they are, and you know, maybe it's not the traditional way of being a mother per se or being a parent. For me personally, it's just been very different in how I run my business. It's like I have 3 kids at home.
Right.
So they have just very different experiences, even if they have you know, sort of a parenting lifestyle that's different than mine. And so I like to find creators that have a whole slew of kids. Both of us have 3 kids,
yes,
right? So
yes.
We can talk the same language and they're still small. Like Marie and Amy, they're older than I am. So
right.
Even if they had kids at home at one time, now they're off. Now they're in college where you and I, like, we were just talking yesterday about being in the trenches with kids.
Right, like, right in the thick of it. Yeah. I mean, and that is super important because like, I obviously can't speak to the experience of a step parent, so I'm not going to do that. But like, as far as like, just generic business advice, right? Like, Hormozy, or like any Tim Ferriss, James. I don't think they have kids. Tim Ferriss certainly talks like he doesn't have kids.
Yeah,
you know, like, nobody can meditate for 2 hours every morning.
Yes,
right. It's just like you live a very different life, and that's. Where the lack of, you know, I feel like maybe parents are just like too in it.
Yeah.
To like come up for breath and give the advice they need, right? The thing I think that stuck with me the most was Marie Kondo after she had her kid. Mm-hmm. They asked if she's still doing the Katamari method. And she's like, no, I have kids now.
Yes.
And that's like so refreshing because like I feel like a lot of parents probably read that and were like, how could I possibly do this?
Yeah.
My kids just acquire things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's really important. And it's like you're a little, like your kids are a little older than mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's nice to like see like who's ahead, who's with me.
Yeah.
And then I love helping people who are coming up, right?
Yeah.
Our friend Jay just had a kid.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's really interesting to see how he's shifting his business and adjusting. Cause I think the values, right? We both want to be present parents, right?
Right.
There are people who don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like those people are not. I'm not for those people.
Yeah.
And they're not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it goes back to, you know, going back to your pivot, right? Your pivot in your business and what you're adopting and changing to. I think that the through line of it is still systems.
Yes.
So it's just an evolution of the systems that you teach or the way that you approach systems. So just in knowing that, like, because you've been on the show before, right? We talked about automations and like I hadn't heard of Make before you came on.
Yes.
And then you went through this full detail of like, okay, you can do this and then you could feed this and then all these files happen in the back end and then you can have VA do this. And I thought that was so awesome. But for this conversation today, I was really just thinking about where do you see as we like cast perfect with the 10-year plan, right? As you cast out into the future, like where do you see content creation going and evolving in a way that you can get on board with or that still has you excited about it?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I you know, nobody can see the actual cloud over our head, but like, and the letters A and I are written on it.
Yeah.
And about a year ago, I tweeted or posted on LinkedIn or whatever, you know, my social media.
Yeah.
People who say that they used AI to write their book are like people who say I used my car to run a marathon.
Yeah.
Like, yes, technically you did the thing, but how much of the thing did you really do? And I think some people took it like, oh, so you can't even use it for research. And I'm like, no, no. I'm talking to the people who told AI to write chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a debate with my friend Alistair McDermott, who is a AI expert, and according to his LinkedIn bio. And I mean, he thinks about it a lot. That's like a little shade, because there are people who are like, December 1st, right? 2022, AI expert. But we had a debate because he was like, what if I give ChatGPT everything I've ever written? I dictate a bunch of prompts and I guide it towards the book. Like, when I can say I wrote that. And I said, ChatGPT only knows what you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
ChatGPT doesn't know your lived experience that you didn't write about. It doesn't know what happened to you today. It doesn't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow that could shift your point of view. And so for me, the most important thing, and this is, if you listen to a lot of creators that are like us, this is not the first time you're hearing it. This is not like, I'm not going to drop some giant knowledge on you, but it needs to feel human.
Yeah.
There needs to be some sort of empathy factor. And I think as long as that stays, sure, use AI to learn how to code. I have my master's in software engineering and I've been vibe coding a lot.
Yeah. So explain to me what this is, because I've been hearing this a lot. And I think you're a lot more technical than for me, but for the audience. Wait, hang on. I want to go back to your rubber ducking. When you said that, you know what I thought of?
What? Jeeps.
No. You know what? I thought of, that's a good one to ask when my brother has a Jeep, and I was like, why do you have a, I thought about the carnival games.
Oh,
so you said rubber ducking. I was like, oh, so you just have a budget of it. You just picked up. This is my idea for the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. That's a good idea, right? Like, what should I work on today?
Vibe coding. So tell me what this means.
So vibe coding is essentially explaining the project that you want coded.
Okay.
And then having some AI, ChatGPT, Claude, Cursor, Lovable, Replit, whatever, actually write the code for you.
Okay.
And so I've been experimenting with this a lot. The reason I'm like kind of into it right now is because I had a client project. I don't do a lot of websites anymore, but I will do them for nonprofits. And so this nonprofit is one that's like close to our family. It's called Sail Beyond Cancer. My father-in-law sails for them. My mother-in-law died of cancer a few years ago. So, I did some pro bono work for them, but they wanted this like big project and they had budget for it. And so I wanted to charge them a reasonable rate, and I realized I grossly underscoped this project. I was like, oh, WordPress, clickety-click, a few things, great, right? But like there were a bunch of assumptions I made that didn't pan out. Part of it is that I did rely on AI for the requirements. And I'm like, that sounds right. And so there was a point where I was like, well, I'm either going to have to do a bunch of pro bono coding or go back to the nonprofit and say, hey, this is going to cost like double what I quoted you.
Yeah.
And AI had all the requirements, right? Like, because I fed that all into ChatGPT and I'm asking it questions. And then at one point, it's like, do you want to code up a prototype for you? And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, let's see what happens. It wrote 2,000 lines of nearly flawless code.
Wow.
It was really impressive. And like part of it was, I was a WordPress developer for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I knew exactly what to tell it to get the results I wanted.
Yes.
And I reviewed the code. This is like, you shouldn't just let a machine generate code that you're going to run somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I reviewed the code and I tested it. And I was really impressed by that. So I've been doing more of it lately. And I think, if you know how to code, this is a good way to save a ton of time. If you don't know how to code, it's a good way to prototype or articulate what you otherwise would struggle with words.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really, that's a really good use case for AI for me to go.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, yeah. I feel like we would go down a hole that my audience would never recover from, because I do, I love all the technical pieces, but I also love how you explain things in a way where it's like, okay, let's take this complicated thing and let's break it down, because it shouldn't be so scary. Right. And
right.
I feel like, you know, the more we get into adopting AI in our everyday lives, I mean, y'all, we just watched a presentation today on, what is it, the creative brain or cloning yourself. Delphi.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh, we'll fill y'all in on all the updates. What do you think about that? How do you feel about it?
I struggle with that. So they did a demo last night. I don't know if you saw it, Dr. Chris Townley saw it.
Yeah.
And the example he used was Nathan Barry. And I thought that felt weird, because Nathan was there.
He was sitting in the room.
Right? So, like, it's like, you know, the examples he used was like, you know, I forget the famous author he mentioned, but let's say, you know, like, one of my favorite characters from history is Benjamin Franklin, right? And in his autobiography, he stopped writing it before he got to the kite and key experiment. And so he's like, yeah, so if I, you know, if I wanted to, I could upload Benjamin Franklin's brain and ask him about that. And I'm like, but you're not really asking him about that.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think there will be a point where, yes, like Tiago Forte talks about building a second brain, like AI, if you give it enough information, can be your second brain. Heavy emphasis on second. I don't think they emphasize the second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, upload everything and now you cloned yourself. And I'm like, I didn't. You know what this AI doesn't feel? That time I got pantsed in grammar school.
Right.
or like the time I said something super embarrassing in front of my future in-laws, right?
Yeah.
But as far as like uploading the knowledge I choose to upload, I think, yeah, we're like barreling towards that very soon.
Yeah. And I think it's super interesting. And I don't know about you, but for me, I have a lot of skeptics in my life about AI.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is actually really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I am like, oh, I love ChatGPT. And I love, you know, I'm using all these different tools that have AI integration. So like I interviewed Laura Sprinkle earlier. We were talking about the, like, we drank the Kool-Aid, right?
And yeah.
Like AI. And we're like, oh, we're bought in. But I love that, like, my parents are like, absolutely not. Like, I want nothing to do with this. It's very overwhelming. It's confusing. Like, I don't understand why people are doing this. And so I think it's really healthy to have that pushback in, whether it's a business partner, it's a friend, or someone just kind of keeping you in check. Like, are you outsourcing everything in your business to AI?
Right.
Because then that's no longer you. To your point, it's not your stories. It's not your, you know, that time that you fully fell down the stairs and embarrassed yourself. I've done that a few times. And so, but yeah, I think it's really interesting. It's interesting as a concept. And I think it's in its early stages. It's such in its infancy of how this is going to be, I bet, by this time next year.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
who knows?
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
I scoped a course for LinkedIn Learning in December that was like using AI to help with code. I'm recording it soon as we have this conversation. Vibe coding, that term didn't exist when I scoped the course.
Wow.
But now I'm like, oh, this is a vibe coding course, right? But like, that term didn't exist in December.
Yeah.
Like 6 months ago, right? So like, it's evolving quickly. I have like a don't trust tech bros mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from New York. I'm really skeptical about a lot of things. But like, they're in a bubble and they're like, we are changing the world, right? Like, some of those people talk like they are Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
And we need to remember that we have evolved over thousands of years. And the thing that accelerated our evolution was togetherness and community.
Mm-hmm.
And like properly communicating, because that's how we innovated. And that's still deeply embedded in us, for better or worse. We seek companionship. We go to these conferences for in-person interactions, but then we're also very tribal. That person looks different from me and I hate them.
Yeah.
But like, it's so deeply seated in us.
Yeah.
that the tech bros who think everything will be replaced by AI are completely forgetting that we crave human interaction.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And I think that why I'm not on the tech bro vibe either is because I'm like, oh, because y'all are making all the money off of the people that are buying the courses from the AI experts that are out there. And I'm like, I see you. Like, it's like the MLMs that were rampant, you know, years ago that it's like, I always had, it's this spidey sense that you just feel in the air, like,
if it's
off.
If it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Hard.
Right? I just learned that the Amazon Go places where,
are these
like,
the stores?
Yeah, the stores where you just walk in and shop. And it's like all automatic. It checks your
stuff. Yes.
There are people in India watching you shop and making your cart. I'm like, this is the crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like, it happens like that. I'm like, these people are selling a future that could exist.
Could.
If only they had say over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. But we all have say over it and we're still people. And I mean, look at the pandemic. Like, it's not like we all lived in our house for 2 years and then we're like, wow, this was great. I never want to see any people again.
Yeah.
I'm sure some did, but like most people were so excited to get back into the world and see and interact with other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. We could just chat about this forever. And actually, I do want to come, like, I want to bring all this home to one point, bringing it back to being a parent. One thing that Nathan said in his keynote was about his kids and looking at, like, they're exploring coding and doing things with AI.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we've said this so many times to our kids, like, it's not this, hey, you can just go to school and you can be this one day. We as parents, like, I have no idea what this world is going to look like in 5 years. Like, actually, I have a, when we're recording this, my son, I was crying to Joe. I was like, oh my gosh, I have a junior in high school now. Like, in 2 years, he's either going to be on the job market or trying to go to school and get an education. And we just don't know what that looks like. But I love that Nathan brought that part of himself into his talk. And this is what we were talking about earlier. It's like just bringing that piece of being a parent, being an entrepreneur, whatever those pieces that you have, like showing up that way. And I think that you do such a good job. So I just want to congratulate you and say thank you so much for showing up as your authentic self, because I think that you really helped a lot of people today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Somebody did ask me about this. So like, so do you like, is this like, are you playing? It was mostly because my New York accent comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
And like, are you just playing a part? Like, and I'm like, that's too much effort, like, to keep track of that. Like,
absolutely not.
I have so many opinions. You think I could like keep track of fake opinions? No way. I don't have it in me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I can't not share.
Yeah.
And I love that Nathan does that too. Like, it's, you know, I think he's like very vulnerable at these events and he really speaks openly. And that's, I think, what ingratiates a lot of people to both him and Kit.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there, you know, Kit is like any software development company, like, has its problems.
Yeah.
And it's like little UI weirdness. But it's a great company and I can't see myself leaving it anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, stay tuned for 2026. Like,
yes.
We'll be back. Who knows what studio we'll be in.
I know.
But we wrap up all of these. I'm like, looking at our time, because we don't get so much time in Nathan's studio, right? Because it is really special.
So nice.
But, and I didn't give you a chance to prep for this. So I know you're going to have different answers than last time, but we have some rapid fire questions
that
I think you forgot.
I did forget.
You probably forgot.
Yeah.
So, which is good. Maybe I'll answer them totally differently. Yeah.
Well, but maybe I'll answer them the same. We'll see.
The same. Yeah.
I'll have to go back right after this.
And yes. But the first one is, what piece of advice would you give to a brand new creator?
Gosh, I think it goes back to be your authentic self. Do what works best for you, right? A lot of us fall into the trap of, this person is doing, you know, we've seen some talks. They're like, all you've got to do is clickety click and you've got 100,000 followers. Show up authentically and you will attract the people that will resonate with you the most. I think this is where my newsletter hasn't grown, because I've tried to copy instead of be me.
Yeah.
And so I think be yourself. It's the best thing that you can do for the long term.
Yeah, that's great advice. Okay, the next one, it's a two-part question. Okay, and it's, what is the dream podcast you would love to be on? And who is your dream guest that you would love to interview?
Oh boy. Well, it's completely unrelated to my niche, but I would love to go on the Lonely Island Seth Meyers podcast because it just seems so fun. That's definitely different because that show launched last year.
Yeah.
Like after we recorded our last episode.
Yes.
So, and then honestly, dream guest, Amanda Getz.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah. I ran into her today and I said, will you come on my show? I was really nervous about it. And she was like, yeah, totally. And I'm like, my audience is like solopreneur parents. And she's like, that's perfect. And so hopefully we'll make that happen. But she has agreed in principle.
Yeah.
So I'm making my dream guest happen. I'm really excited about that.
I love it. Putting it out there and just like in real time. So next time you're on the show, then maybe by this time next year, we'll have another one and you'll be like, this was like, you're just checking them off.
Yeah.
The list,
just going
right?
down the list. Yeah. That's another great thing about these conferences, right? You meet great people. Like I did ask, I said, hey, to a couple of people who know him, if she says hey, this guy asked me to go on his podcast, can you just vouch for me?
Yes, exactly. Just say he's got that same approval. Yeah, he's got the blue check mark.
The real life blue check mark,
yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, my last question is, do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I used to. Mm-hmm. I've started to think 80% for most things. Mm-hmm. Perfection for just a few, right? It's like that Fight Club quote. We can 1 second is the most we can ever hope for perfection. Whatever. It's like something like that. And I think probably being a parent has helped because I don't have the time to make things as perfect as possible. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about working on the internet is that nothing is permanent in the sense that it can't be changed. You say something online, it's probably there forever. But I can launch something and then iterate on it.
Yeah.
We're not building a skyscraper. And so I would say I used to be, and life has taught me that I don't need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that felt like a mic drop. These are really expensive mics. We won't drop
these.
We won't drop these. David, you're good.
Perfectly positioned.
Yes, so. I know. Yeah. This is so
I didn't
great.
Even have to move it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, before we let you go, I just want to know, has there been one super memorable talk, keynote? The conference isn't over. We're recording this.
Right.
But is there one that you're man, everybody's got to go check out this one person?
Amanda Getz, obviously. Yep. I just love what she's doing.
Yep.
Clay, the first guy who spoke.
Yes, Clay Ebert. I think it was his name.
Yeah. He just has a very refreshing take on what we traditionally call the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
And I thought I had a really good opening line before his talk.
Yeah.
And it just got better after his talk.
Yeah.
So it's something that no matter what you do, people will ask, no matter what field you're in, people will ask you, what do you do?
Yeah.
And having a good answer is a plus. He had a clip of a bunch of TV shows.
I loved it.
Dario was in it. And I'm like, man, deep cut.
Yes. Yeah. For all the millennials out there or the Gen Z, go look up Dario.
Go look up
if you
Dario.
Don't know, it's totally worth it.
Janine Garofalo didn't voice her, even though everybody thought they did.
Fact check
real time. Yeah. Chanty's I don't know any of the words you just said.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. What is MTV? What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Well, Joe, this has been fantastic. Where can everyone connect with you and follow along with what you're doing now?
Yeah, if you go over to casabona.org, you'll find my snappy intro and you'll be able to get on my mailing list where I'm being authentic and talking about the things I'm working on and struggling and helping solopreneurs be on there.
Now that feels so fantasy.
So let me tell you, this is maybe the show after the show.
Yes,
I bought my domain in 2004.
Uh huh.
And .com was taken.
Okay.
And so I bought .org, and I've been trying for 20 years. And there was a point between 2010 and 2020,
uh-huh.
where the website was not updated.
Uh-huh.
And so I'd email this seemingly lovely woman named Helen.
Uh-huh.
Say, hey, you want to sell the domain?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, I really like the email address. And I'm like, I will let you keep the email address. But then the pandemic happened and she revamped her website. Now she's doing a bunch of stuff. So.
Yeah.
I'll just always be .org, I guess.
I love it though. It's super official.
Yes,
so
yes.
Y'all go check out Joe's podcast. Go to his website, like all the places.
Yes, all of that is there. Casabona.org is the one true source.
Okay, thank you so much, Joe. We'll have to do this again next time, but I always appreciate our conversations.
Thanks so much for having me. Always great talking to you, Crystal.
Yeah.
Hey, Profit Podcast listeners, thanks for sticking around a little bit after the episode to hear this special message, because I want to hear from you. We are starting a new segment called Fan Mail Shoutouts, and I want to hear from you, and I want to hear your questions. What do you want to know? What questions have you been dying to ask me? So here's how to make this happen. Go to the app where you're listening to this podcast right now. Go there. I'll wait a second. Okay. Now, once you're there, you're going to see a hyperlink at the top of the episode description that says, send Crystal a text message. And that's all I want you to do. Send me a text. It could be casual, informal. It could be totally anonymous. Or if you want, you can include your name and the name of your podcast or content wherever you are creating, and I will give you a special shout out in an upcoming episode. So again, go to the show notes for where you're listening to this episode right now, and it will say, send Crystal a text message. And I cannot wait to hear from you and give you a shout out in an upcoming segment of Fan Mail Shoutouts.